Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Tonight we present Chapter 5, Book 48, entitled The Strength and the Glory of the Human Spirit. Somewhat subdued by their great loss. But having set their minds to the task of devoting themselves and their thinking to the world of the living, they're finding it much easier to go ahead with the daily tasks before them. There was one crisis which was reached and safely passed without anyone hardly realizing it but Dr. Thompson. That was Joan's struggle with pneumonia. Of course, the family was cognizant of the little girl's plight, and Paul and Hazel stood by at the hospital until the crisis had been reached and safely passed. But all the while, the weight of the other tragedy had been so heavily upon everyone. Joan was over the hump and on the mend before anyone quite realized what had happened. As was to be expected, each of the Barbers is reacting in a different manner to the tragedy. But only Mother Barber seems to be entirely defeated. In the 9 days since the news came, she's not left her bedroom upstairs, has hardly left her bed. Now, dry-eyed and listless, she's refused to respond to any of the suggestions or remedies that Dr. Thompson has prescribed for her. Paul and Hazel are in the library discussing what's to be done.
Dad and Dr. Thompson were in with Mom for half an hour. Matter of fact, the doctor just left.
Yes, I saw Father down in the garden as I came in, but what did Dr. Thompson say?
Well, he said there was nothing fundamentally wrong with Mom. Said she naturally had suffered a shock when the news came, but to all intents and purposes, she'd recovered from that.
He says she has?
Yes. Naturally, she's getting along in years and recovers from any physical or mental setback more slowly, but actually, she's quite able to be up and around as soon as the spirit moves her.
In other words, it's simply the lack of will to want to get up and start living again.
Essentially, yes.
But doesn't he want us to get her up?
No, he said until she found the moral strength within herself, we'd accomplish nothing by forcing her.
Mm-hmm. I see. But we can't just sit with folded hands and let her go on.
Well, Dr. Thompson's sending over a practical nurse to look after her.
He's doing what?
Well, after all, Hazel, you have your own house to look after, and Teddy's going to be busy most of next week taking entrance examinations for her nursing training. Betty isn't strong enough yet to look after her two babies and Mom and the house.
But with all the women in this family...
Well, can you actually spare the time and not neglect your children?
No, but for the time being...
Well... Dad's quite capable of paying a woman to look after things here for a little. And I've talked to the cook. She'll take care of the meals in the downstairs. And this practical nurse will look after Mom in the upstairs.
What is his father to say to all this?
Nothing. Seems quite willing to have it arranged for him.
Oh.
He's holding himself pretty well, but I think that's a full-time job for him. Less he has to worry about other things, the quicker he's going to get complete control of himself again.
I wonder if I should let Margaret bother him.
Oh, yes. Let her be with him as much as possible. Her cheerful little chatter is just what he needs to take him out of himself.
Mm-hmm. What time is this practical nurse coming?
Well, she was supposed to come right over. Any time now, I imagine. Oh, by the way, Dr. Thompson said I might drop in and see Joan for a couple of minutes this afternoon.
Oh, I'd like to go along.
Well, he said just one person today, and only for just a minute.
Paul, how in the world are we ever going to tell Joan about her mother?
Well, let's don't cross that bridge until we come to it. As soon as the woman arrives, I think I'll go over to the hospital.
All right. I'll probably stay around for a while and see that she gets started right.
Yes, might be a good idea. That's probably her now. I'll let her in. Oh, hello, Margaret.
The doorbell just rang.
Yes, I came to answer it.
Well, I'm going down the garden to be with Grandpa.
Yes, that's a good idea. You run along.
Yes, I think it's a good idea, too.
Oh, good afternoon.
I'm a practical nurse, which Dr. Thompson sent over to look after poor Mrs. Barber.
Yes, won't you come in, Mrs.?
Mrs. Wilder, a widow woman.
Yeah, let me take your overnight case, Mrs. Wilder.
Oh, no, that's all right. I'm quite used to fetching and carrying for myself. Having had no man to wait on me all these many years.
Yes, well, won't you step in the library a minute and meet my sister? I'm Paul Barber, and it's our mother you're going to look after.
Poor lady.
Miss Wrighton, here, please. Hazel, this is Mrs. Wilder.
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Wilder, my sister, Mrs. Herbert.
You look an able-bodied woman, Mrs. Herbert.
Why, oh, yes, quite able. But you see, I have a house of my own and three small children to look after. Mrs. Wilder, are you well?
Well, I've never been a well woman. Not since I can remember. But a body must do what she can to keep body and soul together.
But if you're ill, I mean, you're so bent over.
It's just like my doctor once said to me. What is a woman anyway but a backache walking around on two legs? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
But do you think you're capable of doing some of it?
When a woman is left to her own devices to keep food in her mouth and a roof over her head, she does what she must. So now, if you'll take me to your mother, poor thing.
Well, I suppose so. Mrs. Wilder, will you wait in the hall just a moment? I want to speak to my brother.
Very well, Mrs. Herbert. Oh, this is a very much nicer house than I ever lived in before.
Paul, what in the world do you suppose possessed Dr. Thompson to send a person like that?
Well, maybe she was all he could get.
But the woman isn't well. All that feeling so sorry for herself and calling Mother a poor thing. Well, I don't know what in the world Mother will do if she says it in front of her.
Well, why not try her and see how it works out? We can always get rid of her.
Well, if you think so.
Oh, sure, go ahead. You take her up, huh? I'm going to run over to the hospital for a few minutes.
Yes, you go on. Oh, did I hear Margaret's voice out in the hall?
Yes, she was just going down the garden to be with her grandfather.
I'll probably be upstairs for quite a little. I just wanted to be sure where she was.
Huh? Is that you, Margaret?
Well, Grandpa, you're down on your knees in the wet ground.
I'm not on the ground. I'm kneeling on a rubber pad.
Are you planting something?
Yes, yes. Putting in the last of my winter garden.
Oh, well, could I help you?
Well, the ground's wet and soft. You be careful you don't muddy yourself.
But what about you?
Oh, I've got on my garden clothes. Suppose you just stand and talk to me while I work.
Okay. Well, it's going to rain again.
Yeah, I haven't the least doubt of it. Hand me that little basket of bedding plants.
This?
Yeah, thank you.
Do you like to plant things, or why do you?
Certainly I like planting things. Besides, don't you know that the month of November has been dedicated to food?
November?
Yes, yes. Food Fights for Freedom Month.
I didn't know that.
Well, it is. Produce and conserve. Share and play fair.
What does that mean?
Yes. You know what produce means, don't you?
Grow more food, you mean?
Certainly. And you know what conserve means?
That means to can food.
Yes, I suppose it does. But it also means not to waste food.
Mommy makes Hank and Pinky and me eat everything we take on our plates. And she won't let us waste a thing.
Good for her. That's a small stroke for victory right in your own home. Do you know that?
I don't eat half as much as Hank and Pinky.
Well, girls don't.
Oh, why?
Well, their little interior mechanisms are more delicate.
Oh, what were those other things?
Huh? What other things?
About conserve and preserve.
Not conserve and preserve. Produce and conserve.
And what else?
Produce and conserve and share and play fair.
I know what share means. That's to give somebody else part of what you've got.
Exactly. Those of us with plenty must divide with those who have little. Not only as individuals, but as a nation.
So there won't be any hungry people any place? Was that the reason, Grandpa?
That's the reason. And you know what play fair means.
Don't cheat.
Exactly. Don't cheat with food. Give everyone an equal opportunity to get his share. And don't pay more than top legal prices or give away or accept ration stamps.
Well, that's a slogan, isn't it?
Hmm?
Preserve and conserve.
No. Not preserve and conserve. Produce and conserve.
Produce and conserve and share and play square. That's a slogan, isn't it?
Yes.
Grandpa.
Hmm?
You aren't planting any turnips, are you?
You don't like turnips?
Well, that's the parsnips. I hate them worst of all.
Who ever heard of a little girl not liking turnips and parsnips?
Well, I hate them.
Yeah. I'll bet the little girls and boys in China and Russia and England would thoroughly enjoy sitting down to a kettle of turnips and parsnips.
I like them nuts.
Yeah? That's what?
Nuts in the Mall of Ours.
Yeah.
You know something, Grandpa?
What is it, child?
I'm awfully glad you're again.
Yeah?
Oh, now we're friends again.
Yes.
Yesterday you looked right at me and didn't even see me.
Did I, indeed?
But today you're not that way at all.
I know, Margaret. Before you came out, I was here on my knees, working and thinking, and pretty much the same thought came to me. Deep within me is an aching void. And yet, well, I can only explain it by suggesting that the human spirit is naturally optimistic, naturally cheerful. So, in spite of my dreary emptiness, I find myself able to think and speak of other matters.
Are you talking about Aunt Claudia?
I'm speaking of your Aunt Claudia. And now that we have done so, let's talk of something else.
Okay.
Eh? Who's that coming down?
Oh, it's Aunt Irene and Uncle Clifford.
Is it, indeed? What brings them up from the dairy ranch?
I don't know. Hello, Uncle Cliff. Hello, Aunt Irene.
Hi, Rabbit.
Did you bring Skippy with you?
No, not this time. Hello, Father Barber. You look busy this afternoon.
Yes, planting. What are you two doing up from the dairy ranch?
Well, we haven't been in for 3 or 4 days. Just felt that we wanted to come.
Will you excuse me? I see Hank and Pinky.
Okay, you run along.
Okay, but I'll be back pretty soon.
Hey, Dad, isn't that wet earth awfully cold for you to be working in without gloves?
I never wear gloves when I'm working in the soil.
But your hands are almost blue. Don't they feel cold?
I hadn't thought about it.
Why don't you come on in, Father Barber, and warm them in front of the fire?
I'm almost finished, dear.
How's Mom?
Ailing.
Oh, she's still in her room?
That's right.
Well, what does Dr. Thompson say?
Well, he was here this morning. He's sending in a practical nurse to take care of her.
Practical nurse?
But, Dad, that sounds like she was going to be down for a long time. Is that what it means?
I don't know what it means. I think for once in his life that Fred Thompson is at the end of his resources.
Well, doesn't he give any explanation?
He says physically she's all right. He says it's her spirit that's broken.
Mother Barbara's spirit broken? I don't believe that.
Well, you're welcome to believe what you choose. I can't comfort her or get any comfort from her myself.
And Mom has always been such a resolute person.
And she still is. For goodness sakes, you folks, give her a chance.
But Irene, Mom's never done anything like this. Never in her whole life.
And nothing's ever struck her down like this before. Well, don't you understand? You people just mustn't put on long faces and act as though you thought Mother Barbara had come to the end of her rope. You just mustn't. Things like that influence people too much. She'll recover all right if you let her alone. It's only if everyone insists on making a useless old woman out of her that she'll become one.
Hey, that isn't what I meant at all.
Well, that's the way everybody sounds. I hope you're cheerful around her, Father Barber.
Yeah. I can't say that I've been outstanding in my cheerfulness around anyone the past week or so. Yeah. That's all I can do today.
Everything planted?
Here, Dan. I'll help you up off your knees.
Well, since when haven't I been able to get to my feet alone?
Well, I'll carry these tools and things up to the basement for you.
Yeah. Put the small hand tools in the basket there.
Oh, yeah. There we are. They're all set.
Yes.
Are you coming up to the living room as soon as you change and clean up?
I expect so.
Well, we stopped by the hospital to see whether we could see Joan on our way in. But they wouldn't let us.
Fred Thompson told Paul that he could see her for a moment this afternoon.
Why, Paul?
Well, just one person allowed, and she asked for him.
Is that where he is now? At the hospital?
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I heard his car go out of the garage just a short time ago.
All right, nurse. I'll only stay with her a minute. Well, hello there, Joan. Didn't know whether I'd find you awake or not.
Yes.
I hear you've been asking for me.
Yes, I haven't been feeling very good.
That's what Dr. Thompson tells me, but he says you're over the worst now and isn't going to be any time at all until you're as good as new.
I wish they wouldn't make me eat.
Oh, look here, that's what's going to make you strong. Good nourishing food's going to put pink back in those cheeks and fire back in your eyes.
I get so tired.
Yeah, I know exactly how you feel.
You do?
Mm-hmm. You want me to tell you about it?
Well, if you want to.
Well, I had the worst case of not wanting to ever eat again in the history of medicine. At least I thought I did. You see, it was in the last war, and I'd had a little trouble with the wrong end of a German machine gun up in the air. And by the time I got my plane down on the ground, I didn't know up from down, so I kind of rammed the fuselage into a tree. Anyway, I woke up in the hospital pretty well bunged up, and for a couple of weeks, I guess I must have felt pretty much like you've been feeling the past week.
Sometimes I didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm, my condition, exactly. Well, pretty soon they decided I was going to stay alive, and then came the business of eating. Ooh, eating, I didn't even want to bother to open my mouth.
Oh, dear.
Have you tried ice cream?
I can't swallow it, Paul. I just can't.
Well, you keep trying, you will. You'd be surprised how soon you will.
Paul?
Yes?
Lottie doesn't know about me, does she?
No, Joan.
Uh-huh. But would you tell everybody something?
Mm-hmm, I certainly will.
I'm really not mad at the barbers, but I'm awful sorry I ran away.
Well, let's not even think about it, huh?
I was sorry right after I did it, and I wanted to come right back to Grandma and Grandpa's, but I just couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I stayed long enough. You look like you needed some sleep.
Couldn't you stay just a little while longer?
Well, only if you close your eyes and go to sleep.
Well, will you tell everybody for me?
Mm-hmm, I promise. Now close your eyes.
Yes. Paul.
Yes.
Paul. Why do I have such bad dreams all the time?
Oh, people often have bad dreams when they're ill.
I feel like I lost something, and it makes me want to cry all the time.
Well, in another week you'll have forgotten all about it.
Don't go away till I'm really asleep.
No.
Talk to me while I'm going to sleep. Maybe then I won't dream.
Well, let's see. It's November. How will this do? And now it is November. And now the sun leans farther to the south, shining with a glassy, heatless light. And almost all the trees are bare of limb and stem. The mist of dawn is high and still like a frozen blanket or a suspended curtain, and the smoke of morning fires curls from the chimney tops to rise straight and lies in the motionless air. And the bark of a dog a mile away comes sharp and crisp and exciting. And little crystals that might have been ice glisten on the surface of the water pitcher. The fogged windows of the warm breakfast kitchen makes that room cozy and isolated and friendly. And the water boiling for the morning eggs is friendly. And the percolator is friendly. And the smell of toasting bread is friendly. And the murmuring voices of people rising from their beds in the upper reaches are friendly. For now, it is November. And in the middle of the day, the morning dew still clings to the brown, dead, rumpled grass and the underside of a fallen leaf is still wet in the heatless sun. The caw of a crow is raucous and lonesome in the middle of the day. And the spice of chrysanthemums and apples and burning leaves is in the air. Downtown, the traffic is brisk and cheerful and purposeful. But out on the ocean edge where Sea Cliff is, there's no movement at all, except perhaps a bundled child peering through a picket fence, or a large bird coasting by on dejected wing. It is more than the quiet of a dignified street in a good neighborhood. It is the quiet of recumbent nature, resting, gathering her strength for winter's bluster. For now it is November. And in the evening of November's day, the porch lights make luminous puddles in the early dark, and any crispness that the daylight had now melts down into a cold, soggy blanket of night. And the living room glows and is alive with movement, and the hearth fire snaps and sizzles over a green log. Here it is that human beings gather closer for warmth and friendliness and cheerfulness and companionship. Laughter and chatter and pleasantness within, barricaded against the damp, gloomy, prowling restlessness without. For now it is November, and white-tusked, shaggy winter only waits to be upon us. Sound asleep.
Dad said he was coming here to the living room as soon as he cleaned up a little bit. But tell me about this practical nurse.
Well, her name's Mrs. Wilder, and the poor old thing apparently has had experience. But why in the world Dr. Thompson ever sent over a person like that?
Oh, you say she's all bent over?
Yes. She says it's a backache. Well, undoubtedly it is, but I also suspect it's an arthritic condition.
Boy, Dr. Thompson must be short of nurses.
That seems to be the answer.
Well, what happened when you took her upstairs?
Oh, she changed into her uniform and then politely invited me out of the upstairs unless I have business up there.
She just took over?
Well, she made it quite plain that she didn't like people underfoot. All the time she was grumbling and sniffling and sighing as though she were being put upon terribly.
Mm, great company for Mom.
Oh, there you are, Father Barber.
Yes.
Here, let me see those hands.
Yeah, my hands are all right.
Now, I ask you, Hazel, look at those hands. Working out in that cold, wet ground without gloves?
Oh, Father, why would you do a thing like that? They're almost blue with cold.
Oof.
Here, sit down, Father.
Yeah. Has that woman come here?
The nurse? Yes, Father.
What's she like?
Well, her name is Mrs. Wilder, and she's a widow woman.
Huh?
At least that's what she calls herself.
Oh.
Well, this is where you've all gathered.
Oh, hi there, Paul.
Are you back from the hospital already?
Yes, I could only stay a minute. Joan went to sleep while I was there.
Oh, poor baby.
She wants you all to know she isn't angry with the Barbers.
Huh?
And she's very sorry she ran away.
Yeah.
And she's going to be all right?
Yes, it'll take some time, but she'll be all right. I was...
Hey, Mom. Mom, what are you doing down here?
Oh, Mother, are you all right?
Well, I'm certainly better off than that poor woman upstairs who was trying to wait on me.
Honey, my dear.
Who brought her into this house?
Why, Dr. Thompson sent her.
Did he indeed? Little I get a hold of him, I'll certainly put a bug in his ear.
But, Mother Barbara, where is Mrs. Wilder?
I made her go to bed.
Oh, what?
You made her go to bed?
Certainly. The poor creature's a lot sicker than I am.
Mother.
Well, she is. I've got her tucked in with a hot water bottle and... Now I'm going out in the kitchen and fix her some good, nourishing kitchen broth.
Well, what do you know?
Fanny. Fanny, You're wonderful.
Chapter 5, Book 48 of One Man's Family, written and produced by Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 6, entitled Further Relationships Between Joan and Her Family, will come to you next week at this same hour.